in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the uttermost parts of the earth. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
And you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want to talk to you from a two-part series today called Pentecost, the promise, the power, and the purpose. Pentecost, the promise, the power, and the purpose. This morning's message in our early service is entitled The Purpose of Pentecost or the Purpose of the Holy Spirit. I need to deal with the reason why that God sent his spirit, why we would wear white. It is not a mandate that anyone wear white. It's just a tradition that is formed in our church. You can wear what you want at any time because it's not about the outward. It's just something that we do. It is carried over after several years of functioning and flowing. But I would like for you to catch more than what we wear. Catch the essence, the purpose of what we do. And so we will never violate the Holy Ghost, and we would always honor him. I also wrote a book called The Comforter, and you may want to go to Amazon, hint, 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 and order a copy so you can be more familiar with the Comforter, the person of the Holy Spirit. I have a trilogy coming, The Carpenter, which deals with his humanity, and The Christ, which deals with his divinity. I believe one of the reasons why Jesus went to Bethany and rested is because he found his own furniture in Lazarus, Mary, and Martha's house as a carpenter. Don't get it twisted, though. The furniture that he created was perfect. Anybody around Jesus when he was growing up becoming a carpenter should have recognized that something is different about this one, because he would not send anything to production if it wasn't perfect. He is the same one that gives Moses the specs for the tabernacle. He is the same one that says, if you screw up one issue, if you mess up one centimeter, I will hold you accountable. The same one that gave Moses everything needed for the tabernacle of Moses and gave Solomon the schematics for the temple. Oh my God, Jesus. He's the same one that now builds furniture.
Hallelujah.
Don't get it twisted. God don't take your mistakes for love. He wants what he wants.
Yes.
And he wants us to give him what he requires. Can the church say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. I want to share with you from that thought again, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Or the purpose of Pentecost. Father, I give you praise and thanks. As I teach, I give you glory and honor for revelation knowledge flowing. Let it flow freely, unhindered and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic force. And I thank you for that, for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost today. This is the day. The fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, this is the day. Matthew 28, this is the day of Acts chapter 2. And we give you praise for the swoosh, the breath of God, the oxygen of God. Breathe on us again. And we will give you praise for the new life, for the Zoe. For the inspiration and the direction of the Holy Ghost, and help us to acknowledge your grace. You love us so much, you don't kill us when we make mistakes. Though you want what you want, your mercy is fresh every morning. Have your way in our services, and we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of Pentecost. Pentecost was more than a moment. It was more than a swoosh. It was more than just on a day. Something happened. Something happened, and I want to call it a divine movement. You may want to write that down. A divine movement of God. When God moves, we call his movements divine When man moves, we call them human. Most of the time, it's full of error. When God moves, it's divine. It was the day when heaven responded to prophecy already secreted or released. Heaven responded to what God had already said about sending his power, his promise, his purpose in the form of the Holy Spirit. For us, there are symbols of the Holy Ghost which may look like fire or a dove descending on Jesus in the form of a dove. And these symbols point us to the person of God, or the second person, the third person of the Godhead. His disciples were gathered in the upper room according to the promise that I read to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and don't you leave. And I wonder how many of us, when we hear God speak, like go to a church and don't you leave, or go to a ministry and don't you leave. We always got an exit plan. If they don't do what I want, I'm out. But that kind of conversation shouldn't even be in our mouths. Because I'm not going to do what you want all the time. And you got to wait. See, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. For those of you that are anxious about getting things done, I'm not telling you to dumb me down. I'm saying to you, you got to learn patience. Because in the ministry that we call God's work or God's ministry, we're dealing with people that don't have the same pace that we have. When the pandemic hit years ago, we wore masks. I had members here so spiritual that they couldn't handle it. They said, we need to have faith. And I got elderly people here who have compromised immune systems. All they wanted is faith. But Jesus even had disciples that had little faith. Oh, ye, you've been with me, but you got little faith. He didn't say you don't have any. Why did you doubt? There's a lot of people in our congregation that are not at the same level of faith as some of us are. Pastoring is making sure, like a sheepdog, we're running around the crowd of sheep, making sure everybody stays in the group. And you don't leave one behind, not one lamb. If a man had 100 and one be gone astray, would he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains to seek the one? For the deep believers, seek the one who's gone astray. And if he finds the one, he dances for the one. We're so religious, one can leave, we don't care. God is concerned about everybody making it to the sheepfold or the sheep gate together. We got wolves out there. We got serpents out there. We have bears out there. We have lions out there trying to pull the people of God from the group. Hallelujah. Shepherding is making sure, like a sheepdog, we're running around that group to make sure no foreign enemy comes in and the enemy doesn't cause us to implode while we're inside of the group and we all get to the gate together. If you ever think about pastoral ministry, it's not just about the one who's holding the mic. This would be the easy part. What happens during the week? How many phone calls did you make? How many people did you pray for? How many people did you counsel when you're tired? When you're tired of them. I said, when you're tired of them and you're still given a mandate to counsel and to make sure they get to higher ground. They got lice in them. They got mice around them. They didn't eat right. Their fur is falling out or their hair is not right. And what are you doing to restore them? The oil is not for the shepherd. The oil first is for the head of sheep. Shepherds take the horn of oil and pour it on the heads of sheep. Why? Because they have lice in the fur that are migrating from their tail all up their neck to their head. And they want to burrow in their ear and in their nose and in their mouths. And when you pour oil on their head, it keeps the mice from migrating to their mind. Glory to God. And if we don't preach and teach constantly and remind constantly, the enemy will burrow through their brain, their ear into their brain, and you see them going mad. They can't keep their head right. Anxiety takes over them. The oil is not just for you to be anointed. The oil is for the people that you preach to. Holy Ghost is not just for me. Holy Ghost is for all of us. And you shall receive power. Oh, my God. Not just the 12. 120 were up there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Only 12 disciples. Ah, Jesus. But 108 others. And they did not follow him like the disciples did. And they all got the same promise. And for those of you that say, I've been there a long time, I got tenure, you got to learn how to let God fall on whom he will. If he falls on the one in the back of the church, they're sitting in the back, all of a sudden their face starts glowing as the Holy Ghost falls on them. We all should be clapping our hands. And if God falls on your son, I need to give God praise. And if God falls on your daughter, hallelujah, I want to give God glory. Come off the backside of the desert. Let God use you. And if you start praying and the Holy Ghost falls, I'm not going to look at your faults. I'm going to say, look at God working through you. Because he looked past our faults. And he saw our needs. Have we forgot that? That many of us God rescued, not just from the devil. He rescued us from ourselves. I always said it, we can do more damage to ourselves than anything the devil can do. God is talking to you. Satan is talking to you. Here's the other one. Or you're talking to yourself. And you can talk yourself into foolishness. Oh, my God. Man, they were gathered in a meeting place. I had a chance to visit the upper room. I thought it was larger than that. I went up to the actual place where the Holy Ghost fell. And Holy Ghost fell on me. I got in the corner, man, and turned my face to the wall. And I'm telling you, I couldn't stop crying. I got a picture of what it was like, cloven tongues as of fire. I must have stayed down there for 40 minutes. And I'm glad that the disciples obeyed God until the promise came. 50 days after Resurrection Day. I wonder what we've done in the last 50 days after we had a wonderful Easter, Resurrection Day. Holy Ghost was here. We had three, four services. Actually, we went out to Castaway Park and prayed. And we came here and had a 6 o'clock service. And then we had some breakfast. Some people didn't show up to the 6 o'clock. They just showed up for the breakfast. That's how people are, right? You start passing out food, they show up, right? But it's really for the ones who got up early. I ain't saying that. Go ahead, eat. But I was thinking. You can't be on time when it comes to breakfast. And be late for service. Holy Ghost wasn't late. 50 days after Easter, after Resurrection Day, here comes the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. We had a wonderful time, a wonderful service, 6, 8, and then 11. I wonder what have we been doing after the 50 days, over the last 50 days. What are we engaged in? The disciples were so discombobulated after Jesus' death, when he died. They reverted back to the old systems. There was no Holy Ghost. Thank God for the resurrection, because Jesus then turned around and he visited them. But between, listen to what I'm saying, the resurrection and the time with the Holy Ghost came is 50 days. I want you to think about the last 50. What have you been involved in? Where are you? What leeches or lice is migrating through your fur? See, the power of the resurrection is to give us power, right? That is, whatever you've sunk in, whatever has caused you to decay, the power of the resurrection says whatever has been in the grave, God can resurrect it. You have the power to overcome it. Holy Ghost now enables you. So for some of us that know the Lord, we know where the power is. We know where the power is. We know where the glory is. Do you access it? See, this job I've had for 30-some years, and I'm telling you, people get a message on Sunday, but by Tuesday, they cast that off. Act like they don't even know God. What about 50 days? Self-examination. What has happened over the last 50? They waited until they received the promise. God never intended for us to operate in weakness. He never intended for us to operate in fear or in our own human ability alone. He's never wanted you to live the life, the Christian life, by yourself or through your own willpower. He understands that that just is impossible. If he gave you 400 laws, you couldn't obey two. If you're guilty in one, you're guilty of them all. That's the way it's designed. So your righteousness is, this is just not, don't get out of that. I ain't never been to jail. I never hurt nobody. That don't make you right in God's eyes. I never. That get that self-righteous mindset out. If you're guilty in one, in God's eyes, you're guilty of them all. Even if you didn't do them. That's why that system wasn't designed to save you. He knows that you cannot do it on your own. So he sent a promise to help you to do it. Whether you were baptized in the name of Jesus only, you know yourself. There are many people who went in the water in the name of Jesus only, not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they still sin. They just went secretly. It's the privilege of privacy. Nobody saw us. It's not that you didn't do it. Nobody caught you. So stop acting safe and be saved through the power of Jesus and the Holy Ghost that he sent to get you saved. Stop acting like that. Praise him with your whole heart, but stop acting like that. Praising him like this. I never did it. I don't care what you're talking about, what you never did. Get the Bible in you. You'll start seeing. Am I saying there's no benefit for never doing it? Yes, there's a benefit of that. You don't need 15, 20 people that you got a body count with. It's hard then to settle. You don't spend yourself out there in the world. It's hard to settle. I can't get no help. So sanctification is good, but it doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus saves. Yes. To the utmost, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. He will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yeah, you got it. Come on, let's give him a praise. Jesus saves. I can't save you. I'm trying to get myself right with God. God never intended for us to be weak, fearful, and to operate in human ability alone. It's the Holy Ghost that came to equip us. And I want to have an equipper service where we just lay oil on you, just get you delivered. I said we need to get delivered. God wants to empower us, to empower, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's really the fivefold ministry here. He wants us to live boldly, audaciously, not proud, but bold. And you shall receive power to be bold. Acts chapter 4, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with boldness. I'm going to tell you something. This is how you know. A few years ago, I was sitting out there and the Holy Ghost fell on me and Tremisha was sitting next to me and the Lord told me to tell her to get up and prophesy. She said, prophesy. I said, get up and prophesy. Anyway, she sat there. Next thing you know, the Holy Ghost hit her. That girl got up here and started pacing the floor. And she said, everything you need is in the house. I knew it was God. Enough money came in that day for us to pay off our facility. You know, I didn't get up and raise an offering. It was Tremisha Flood. Tremisha Flood, is she here today? Tremisha, could you wave your hand? There she is. Look at her. Her mother's name is Deborah. And the spirit, I'm telling you, the spirit of Deborah hit that girl. And, you know, usually Tremisha just do her job, right? She was bent over. She said, everything you need is in the house. Everything. Everything. I mean, I'm like, look at that girl. Holy Ghost fell up in here and people started giving. Enough money came in, we burned the mortgage. Now, I want you to hear this because I didn't get up and say it. And neither has she claimed that she's a minister. But the Spirit spoke to me and said, tell her to prophesy. Now, why would I, she's not a minister. What are you talking about? I just did what he told me to do. And she reluctantly obeyed God, but she did. And she was timid at first, and all of a sudden it went to boldness. And I'm telling you, some of you, your timidity stopped you from even trying. One of the attributes of the Holy Ghost in filling is that you will receive power and boldness to do. Not audacity, not stankness, not you bullying people. What you doing? I ain't talking about that kind of bold. I'm talking about refined boldness. No, I'm going to tell you what's on my mind kind of bold. I'm talking about refined, tactful boldness. It was a carrying coming from her. I put everything you need. This is what she was saying. Everything you need for the next move is already in here. You don't have to go out there to get it. It's in the house. It's right here. That's how she was sharing. I said, look, I can see God all over it. And Tremisha, he has not left you. And for those of you that are sitting in this pew, he has not forgotten you. The promise is still good. Every promise over your head is still good. Every promise that he gave your parents, everything he said to your grandmother, everything that he promised you is still hovering over your head. Open up your mouth and access it. Come on. Every promise is still good. The word of the Lord can't return until it accomplishes what he sent it to do. It's still hovering over your head. Glory to God. And God will perform his promise. Glory, hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Purpose of Holy Spirit, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Registration is open for VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, taking place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children in grades 2 through 6. Register and purchase your t-shirt through the TR mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer. For more information, email vbs@truthrevealed.org. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Attention, new believers. Registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. Classes will begin soon, so reserve your spot now. Email best@truthrevealed.org for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
I've got way too much baggage for God to want me, not with my past.
Maybe that's what you're thinking. The damage is done, it's too late, you're beyond repair. Well, Billy Graham has a word of hope for you.
Saul of Tarsus was a hard nut to crack. He was murdering Christians. But God stopped him, saved him, and he became the great apostle. Augustine lived a wild life. And one day in a garden, God stopped him. And Augustine became one of the greatest theologians in the history of the world.
And that means it's not too late.
Any man too hard for God? No. No, there's no one too hard for God to save, and that includes you.
God will take you in if you will let him. Find out more at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net, where the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association